Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Few among us are as thirsty for God as David was. Too many things fill our lives: TV, the internet, the pressures of job and home. But when those things are taken away, our true hunger can be felt, a hunger that only God can fill. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer takes us once again to a barren wilderness where David's thirst for water mirrored his growing thirst for the Lord. Join us in Psalm 42 as we learn more about desiring God.
David says, "My soul longs for God." You see, it is not just that we desire God, but wonder of wonders, God actually desires us. And that's why the Apostle Paul says that the time is coming when Jesus Christ is going to return to earth and be glorified. Jesus is going to be glorified in the saints. And this past week, I was reading the book of 1 Peter, where it talked about those who are going to be glorified, whom God is going to glorify. God is so interested in us, we are number one on his agenda of things to take care of in the universe. And God can give us delight, and he can give us joy, because he himself is a happy God. You say, well, isn't God upset because of the evil that is in the world? Well, Jonathan Edwards answered that question this way, and I believe it is biblical, by saying that if you look at it narrowly, through a narrow lens, yes, God is angry and God is upset. But if you look at it from the totality of where history is going and where it has come from and the ultimate glory of God, God is a happy God, and God invites us to rejoice in him. And the more we get to know him, the more we can rejoice. But still, I haven't answered the question, have I? If you are downcast, if you have this raging thirst that has never been satisfied, if you're experiencing that, why God and why not drink? Why should we flee to God rather than to drugs and to escapism? Why God? Well, just think of God's resources to meet that deep need that you and I have. We were created for him. You were wired for God because you and I have a soul. We have a connection. We have a spirit so that we can relate to God directly. No animal can do that. Many years ago, when I was in university, we had to read articles about animals that were learning to talk. And I remember reading about Coco. Coco was a chimpanzee who was learning all of these words, and they were saying things like, well, you know, we want Coco to be able to talk, and maybe the day will come when she'll record her own history, and so forth. Yeah, Coco was learning some words, but let me tell you something about Coco. Coco can never know God. Never know God. Coco might be able to talk. You say, do monkeys talk? Well, that could lead to some humor too, but we'll bypass that. The simple fact is that we were created for God, and only God can fulfill and fill that God-shaped vacuum. And all of the lures of the world, all of the things that the world has to offer, the world always deceives us, and I've seen people spend their whole life saying, these wells have to contain some water. Somewhere, someplace, I've got to be able to find it. And they go from one sin to another, one indulgence to another, even one addiction to another, absolutely convinced that the world has to keep its promises at some point. But the world does not keep its promises. You were made and created for God, for God. So what resources does God have? Imagine God being able to remove our guilt. Some of you spend so much time managing your sin that you think to yourself, well, I've taken care of my guilt. No, you have not. Only God can take care of your guilt by wiping it away. He can remove our anxiety. He can bring us that peace of soul, even in the midst of our despondency. But there's something else that God can do. He can love us unconditionally. He can fulfill that deep need for a lasting, meaningful, eternal relationship. Only God is able to do that. And when we come to him, we discover that this thirst that has been in us can be satisfied only by him, and no person and no thing and no achievement can take his place. You say, well, how is our thirst for God increased? Well, it begins at salvation. When we accept Christ as Savior, God creates a new nature within us so that we begin to love God. As a matter of fact, if you're here today and you don't love God, and the way in which you think about God is, how can I use him to help accomplish my own ends? I would say that you probably have never been born again. Because one of the marks of the new birth is a fervent love for God. That doesn't mean that you don't struggle with sin. It may even mean that you fall back into old addictions. But there's something within you that says, I love God and I desire to serve God. And the sin that I am committing grieves me because I know that it grieves God. Because at the end of the day, I love God. That is a necessary mark of being born again. And that it increases with our appetite. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, you grow thereby. And we begin to read God's word, and we begin to love God more and more, and we begin to see that God really is satisfying. We think of people like Bernard of Clairvaux, who in the 12th century was trying to help the church get back to a sense, yes, of mysticism, but also a love for Christ. You remember he wrote these words, Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn to thee unfilled again. Men like that loved God. Let me tell you about a young woman by the name of Madame Guyon. She experienced a close relationship with God in the midst of a very hard and cruel life. Some of you have read her book and her diaries. She was rejected by her family and harassed by her friends. When she was silent, she was accused of pride. When she spoke, she was ridiculed and cursed. And yet, despite all of this, she wrote at the age of 17, "Nothing was more easy for me than prayer. Hours passed away like moments. It was a prayer of rejoicing, devoid of busy imagination and forced reflections." Catch this. The taste of God was so great, so pure, so unblended, and so uninterrupted that it drew and absorbed the power of my soul. I had not sight but of Jesus alone. All other pleasure was pain to me. I tasted with unalterable sweetness the enjoyment of God. And remember, God is most glorified when we are satisfied with him. David says, satisfy me with thy mercies. And indeed, David was satisfied with the mercies and the grace of God. What is the bottom line to all this? First of all, remember this, that all sin at root is distrust of God. All sin at root is distrust of God. We think, for example, of Eve in the garden. There she was. God said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree. And Satan comes along and says, eat of the fruit of the tree. And now she faced a choice. Whom shall I obey? What voice must I listen to? Shall I listen to God, who seems to be restricting me? Or shall I listen to Satan, who seems to be giving me a whole new sense of freedom? And furthermore, if I didn't eat, I'd always wonder what it was like if I had. So I might as well do it. And so she distrusted the goodness of God, and she ate. And, of course, that was the beginning of plunging the entire human race into its sin and misery and despair. But you and I face the very same choice. Because the decision that we face is this, is it really true that I can trust God in my relationships? Is it really true that if I follow the Lord with my whole heart, even if I never am married, even if I never have a relationship that I would like to have of intimacy, that is much better and more satisfying and more fulfilling than finding that relationship and that fulfillment on my own terms? Do we trust God? Do you see now why sin is so serious? It's serious not only because of what it does to us, but it does grieve God. Now, God is happy with his people. God is a very complex emotional being. On the one hand, he is grieved. On the other hand, he does rejoice in us. But the simple fact is that our sin is saying, God, I have found a better way. In fact, it is necessary for me to choose another way because your way simply does not satisfy. Imagine how God feels when we say that. And then there's a second lesson. And that is to seek God is not the renunciation of joy, but the fulfillment of joy. It's not the renunciation of joy, but it's fulfillment. You see, there are many people who think, well, you know, I have to choose between my own happiness and following God. And if I follow God, then of course my own happiness is circumvented and I end up without any pleasures in this world, any meaning in this world. That's such a wrong conception of God that again we insult the Almighty. Because you see, when we pursue God, like Madame Guyon or Bernard of Clairvaux, when we pursue God, when there is something within us that says, God is the one who is going to meet my need, what we discover is the happiness and the sense of fulfillment and the sense of meaning that we have been looking for. It lies in the direction of God and not all of the other places that we think it should be. Do you remember what Jeremiah said to the people? Speaking on behalf of God, he said, you know, the people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have gone out and they have dug themselves holes and cisterns that have no water. I want to tell you today from the bottom of my heart that when it comes to the world, all of the wells are dry. And some people never learn that, and they die still absolutely convinced that somewhere, someplace, whether it's through money or position or power or something, somewhere, their raging thirst is going to be satisfied. And they don't understand. It cannot be satisfied apart from God. This is Pastor Luther. I'm so glad that you joined us today, and many of you listeners may recognize the name of the message, Desiring God, as coming from the book by John Piper by that same name, and I'm indebted to him for many of the ideas that I've shared with you. But isn't it wonderful to know that when we pursue God, we are rewarded? And there's nothing wrong with seeking God and seeking that reward. I love the verse, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he diligently rewards those who seek him out. That's the way one translation put it. My friend, today we're living at a day when there is so much stress, when there is so much turmoil, whether it has to do with the stock market and the fluctuation of our accounts and what have you. There are times now when people are distressed, when some of the older parents are moving in with their children. Times of financial crisis. In the midst of it all, what we really need is a new vision of God. And I hope that as you join us for Running to Win, you will know that that is our heart's cry and prayer for you, because all of us need to see God in a new way. And we need to also recognize that when we sin, we grieve Him. Personal experience, I've noticed that what keeps me from sin is the knowledge that I am grieving the one whom I love. So our relationship with God is vital both for our fulfillment and both as a deterrent. God bless you today. See you next time.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded Desiring God, a message on thirsting for the Lord, as King David wrote about in Psalm 42. Next time on Running to Win, we begin a series celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Join us for a look at the life of Martin Luther. Today's message can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for our next edition of Running to Win.